Almighty.
Yes.
I'm a bit surprised that the COD meeting affects so many people.
Yeah, I'm also a bit surprised, and that's the first answer I was giving to the rocks that communicate this to me. Because in fact, I don't see the rock duty and the COD duty as clashing. It should be two separate roles. And in addition, every rock manager should have a deputy, and the agenda should be made in such a way that you try to keep this slot, because this meeting is nearly impossible to move. So the rocks till now are Italy, and they said that they can find a solution to attend the meeting. The other one is Southwest Europe. Kai, are you there?
Yes, Maite. I try to find somebody who can talk.
Yeah, you can try to find somebody. Okay, thank
yes.
you. The other one is Claire. So, John, another case is UK Ireland, and Claire said it's not only the COD, but the Grid PP conference. So, will you manage to send somebody?
I'm not sure. I didn't think Claire was going to the COD meeting. And the Grid PP meeting is only for the Project Management Board on the Tuesday, so she shouldn't be going to that either. But she hasn't replied to me yet. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. Because the week after...
She has the COD meeting in her diary, but I can't tell whether she's going.
Okay. So, contact me offline if you have any strong objections to this. We cannot move it to the week before because it is too close to today. This would be next week. The week after I'm off, and then it will be the week after would be very close to the next meeting. And without that meeting, we will be on a very long time scale without any meeting. It would be 4 or 5 weeks, and we are on a critical time. And you will see today if we want to change the program of work for the second year, to discuss all the changes you proposed in the face-to-face meeting in Catania, this is the time to work on it and to discuss it. And doing it only by mail, yeah, could work, but it is good to have a checkpoint and some, at some point and discuss. So I would propose to leave the meeting where it is. Please, the rocks who expressed problems to attend it, go back and check your agendas and check with your deputies and try to arrange attendance. And if you still have problems, let me know. Okay, any comment to this?
It's okay.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And now we go back to the first and only main point of the agenda, discussion of changes for the year 2 of EG3. We have here Stephen Newhouse with us, and I
Hello.
Live here. I leave him to guide us through all these documents attached to the agenda and lead a little bit the
okay.
discussion.
Thanks. So I wasn't going to run through any particular set of slides or documents. Really just to give an overview as to what's happening and what our planning, what our current plans are, and really to gather inputs from yourselves on that plan. So do feel free to jump in as I go through these, as I'm sure you would anyway. So what we're talking about is really focusing on year two and what happens beyond that. For year two, our main focus is thinking about the transition to EGI, so that when EG ends, the organizational structure within EG is comparable to that that would be expected in the EGI model. In addition to this, there is a hiccup that's appearing in the planning in terms of the EU funding, in that the PMB has asked us to look at how we can extend the run of EG3 for potentially 3 months, but possibly 6 months beyond where it was planned to end in the end of April 2010. This is being driven by the current schedule that we believe is coming through from the EU projects, from the Commission, in terms of when they're going to be opening and closing the calls for the projects that will fund EGI and its related activity, And then also aligned to that is when we expect those calls to be announced, the awards to be announced, and the projects to actually ramp up and be able to formally take over the infrastructure. So really occupying the, you might say, the management's mind is two things. One, how to get an extra 3 or 6 months out of the project with the resources we have, but also to make sure that in year two, we also are able to move to the EGI structure. So is any of this radical news to anyone on this call at the moment? Okay. So moving on from that, there are really, in terms of operations, operational tasks within EGI are divided into approximately four areas. We have the global tasks that are undertaken by EGI.org at the center. We have global tasks that are undertaken by individual NGIs to, on behalf of the broader community, such as running the, GOP database, accounting, or GGUS and so forth. Then each NGI is expected to engage in international tasks, which are basically activities that interface into this global infrastructure. And then there are national tasks which take place within the NGIs that it's up to the NGIs to decide how much commitment they make to those individual activities. So with that as a background, what do we want to do in year two and beyond? So clearly the key thing is to keep the infrastructure running as it is at the moment with the operational effectiveness and to keep the user communities happy and using the infrastructure. As part of that background activity, what we also need to do is to make sure that we get into the good position for the transition from EG to EGI. And part of that is to go through and have a look at the policies and procedures that we've generated over the lifetime of the EG project to make sure that we've captured all of the, you might say, the intellectual property and the know-how that has been developed as to how to keep a pan-European grid infrastructure up and running. This is fairly critical because what we are likely to see is a fair amount of changeover in personnel during the transition period. Certainly, many institutes have been able to keep the same group of people engaged in this, their operational activity over the last 6 years or so throughout the EG projects, but with the change in potential change in partners, the changes in structure, that is unlikely to carry on across all partners over the next couple of years. And so getting these procedures documented is critical. One of the other things that has come out as a critical issue is automation of the operational tools and to the collection of metrics automatically from the infrastructure. Many of you have been involved over the last couple of months, possibly in the collection of material for the country reports that each NGI has been asked to produce. These have been incredibly interesting from a management perspective, and it's clearly something that NGIs are going to want to see to be able to understand how their particular activities are working well. Currently, generating these metrics is not as automatic as we would like, and therefore making sure that we get those sorted out by the end of the project so that it is possible for NGIs to see how their organizations are working is, again, a fairly critical exit.
So, Stephen, who's driving this? Is this Gabriel's metrics?
So I think the automation is being driven by James.
Yeah, this is the quarterly report metrics portal work. which Sesga are developing the portal now for, but it's based on the input we had, the spreadsheet and the document that the OAT did.
Okay, because the things I remember being asked about for metrics were things that we couldn't do, like storage per user and users per country, things like that.
Right, so there's a bunch of metrics that were contained within the country reports. Now, most of those metrics we restricted down to things that we could collect automatically or was fairly automatically, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to collect in addition, some of which, if the metrics automation goes ahead, will be collectible. There's additional things that need some thought as to how we collect the raw structural information, such as what users are actually come from which country and so forth, so you can work out when they're moving and using resources outside of that country. We think we can generate some rough metrics around that area with the structure of the data that we have at the moment, but it's not going to be 100% accurate, but it should be indicative of out-of-country use and so forth.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that outside. We had a discussion about that at the GDB last week in terms of policies for accessing such data.
Right. Okay. So the final key thing that comes out of this then is also the capturing the interfaces and the protocols between the operational tools. Now, currently at the moment, the operational tools are centralized, and as part of the move to the NGI model is to provide individual NGIs with the option to host those tools within their particular nations or regions if they wish to do so, both in terms of nations coming together to form the more traditional regional model, but also to have regions within nations who might want to run their own grid infrastructures and have a view, a local view as to how those work. This sort of activity I think you see as being quite challenging to do within the current lifetime of the project and the resources allocated to it. And so I think minimally we need to document the interfaces and the protocols that are hosted around the current tool set, and then to see how far we can go down the way of looking at how to package up these tools, and then to see how easily these tools can be deployed and made to work in a hierarchical fashion, so that the tools deployed in a nation can then feed through into the central tool sets and so forth. But this is something, the deployment and the implementation of such a federated structure is something that I would see as being quite a push to do in the time scale that we have available. Okay, so that leads us then on to the changes that have been discussed. So let's talk about the timeline for these changes. There's two timelines that are kicking around in this area. One is the timeline that's coming from within the EG project itself, and the second one is coming from the EGI design study, which has a deliverable on the transition plan of the European e-infrastructure community to the EGI model. Now, the EGIDS plan effectively includes entities beyond just EG, but also the work that's going on in DICER and so forth, and the collaborating projects and related projects as to how they can move towards EGI and what does it mean to them for them to move towards EGI. So this is something that EG will provide input to into this transition plan. However, the original due date for this transition plan was the end of this month. The EGI design study has decided to slip that plan till the end of June. This effectively means that any input that EG has into this EGI plan is effectively going to take place once we've decided what our own transition plan will be. So EG's transition plan is something that will be defined over the next 6 weeks, i.e. by the end of April this month, end of April next month. April is
end
the
of
next
April,
month.
2009.
Thank you, Maite, for putting me into a proper datal context. And that plan will then be, we'll start implementing it at the beginning of the second period, i.e. the 1st of May, and we'll discuss with the PMB at its May meeting any refinements it would like to see made to that plan. Clearly, once the EGI design study is published, we will obviously provide input into that before it is published. But once that is decided, we will then have to take a view as to if there is a difference between what the EGI design study sees as being the transition plan for EG and what we see as being the EG transition plan. And if there are differences, we'll have to see how we can iron out those differences over the second year. So our timeline then is to have a transition plan in place by the 1st of May and then execute it during the second year. Two things that have come out in the document that is attached to the agenda page in relation specifically to operations. One is the refinement of the pre-production service and to look at taking that more as a, you might say more as a global rollout testbed to give sites, have a representative set of sites engaged in that so that once a release has been certified, that can be rolled out across some key sites. And then once that's got a positive experience, then that can, again, trickle down to the NGIs and any regional rollout testbeds that they may have within their own particular regions. And this is very much a refinement of the current deployment resources that exist within the PPS. Also, aligned to that is what we're doing in the middleware area as well, is to look at the resourcing levels that's described within the operations unit of EGI and make sure that we have effectively a similar sized team centrally, and that centrally may be a distributed centrally, engaged in the operational unit activities as is projected within the EGI.org model. And so this will give us a chance to see if that resourcing level is sensible and also give us a chance to develop communication structures alongside that. So alongside that sort of restructuring that's taking place, you might say, at the center to set up the EGI model, what we also want to do is to look at accelerating the handover of tasks from what you might say EG through to the emerging NGIs that exist within the EG project. Part of the reason for doing this is twofold. One, what we're doing across the whole of the EG project and its activities is looking at what we're doing at the moment. If EGI doesn't see this activity doesn't see a particular task taking place within its future, i.e. in a year's time, what is the benefit of EG carrying on with that task during its second year of the project? Now, there's some tasks that where that will make sense for EG to carry on doing that, but if EGI believes that the task isn't going to carry on forward, why should EG carry on with that task? That's one consideration. The second thing is that we have to find a potentially another 6 months of resources to keep the infrastructure running to provide a year three of the EG3 project. To do that, we're going to have to effectively either leverage resources that are going to exist within the NGI, or we're going to have to ask existing partners who are engaged within EG to carry on spending the resources that they have over a longer time by doing less over the next 12 months so that they can carry on running an additional 3 to 6 months thereafter. And this is also going to need us to have a look at the activities that are taking place and within operations specifically here, and decide that yes, this is interesting work, but it is not critical to the success of running EG operations for effectively 18 months from the 1st of May. And in that case, then we would make sure that EG resources are no longer expended on these particular activities, and instead those resources are conserved to be used and carried forward and run into year three of the project. And in those particular cases, if a particular NGI or group of NGIs wish to carry on doing that resource, then they're free to carry on doing that, but utilizing the funding streams that exist within their own national infrastructures rather than leveraging those that exist within the EG funded infrastructure. So one of the things that will take place over the next 6 weeks is a examination of the criticality of the tasks that are taking place and see if there are areas where we can conserve resources to make things last longer.
So Stephen,
yes,
will you be doing this across the whole project or within each partner or within each country?
So what we're doing this initially is doing it within each activity, and what we believe is that by going through that prioritization within each activity, we can identify resources that we can effectively save, and that we can then look to see where those saved resources are and either transfer tasks away from NGIs or transfer tasks away from partners who are working on doing critical bits of the infrastructure so that they can conserve their resources for those critical tasks and look to, you know, if it makes sense, to move some of the less critical tasks that they might be doing to one of these partners where we've been able to save resources.
But so move some tasks to partners where you've saved resources.
Right. So what
you're not taking resources away from anyone.
I was just about to say, what we're not talking about doing is transferring resources around the project. No. We're going to keep with the additional resource allocations, but what we're looking to do is to look if a partner is doing tasks which are of lower priority than a partner than other partners, is to make sure that those lower priority tasks are stopped and higher priority tasks are taken on instead, so that for the critical tasks we can conserve resources to carry on into year three.
Okay.
Was that clear?
Yes, except if you've got a partner who can't extend their funding, are you then going to, you know, at the end of EG, that task will be transferred to some partner who's saved money earlier and can extend?
Exactly. So, I mean, one of the things that there's a questionnaire that's gone out through to the collaboration board, I believe, asking exactly that question of each of the NGIs or each of the partners as to what their flexibility is on their staffing side and what the options are for extending their staff contracts, you know, what percentage of their staff are on fixed-term contracts and that are ending at the end of EG3, and which ones have got staff that can basically roll forward if there are resources available to support them rolling forward.
Yeah, I think that assumes a flexibility between staff that I'm not sure is actually there. If you close down some activity, if you stopped NA2 work, for example, they wouldn't be able to take over SA1 work, same individual.
Oh, I think having just come from a meeting with our NA2 dissemination staff, I would be greatly hurt at your... I think they can be just as creative as the operations people if need be.
Well, creativity is not really in our job description, for
isn't it? I read your reports. I think it is actually. But no, your point is noted. Yes, the tasks are not as fungible as one could hope. But so this is why potentially we're looking at rearranging tasks within a particular activity. So, for instance, if one NGI, is doing, say, some, interoperability work at the moment, is that interoperability work really critical? Possibly not. We could stop that interoperability work. We could save those resources and get those resources, say, picking up on one of the tasks that, say, STFC were currently doing, so that STFC could conserve its resources if it had staff available, and then to carry on running a particular operation through into year 3 of the project, for example. So clearly, being asked, between EG2 and EG3, we were able to find a resource to a 1-month extension. And clearly, when the possibility of an extension started emerging a month or so ago, it was rapidly clear that 1 month's extension wasn't really going to do it, partly because the gap that we were looking to fill was longer, but also because the finance model that we've now developed over the 3 projects is such that across all of the partners, we're within 1% of our particular spending profile. So we just do not have the flexibility to roll forward with the existing resource spend for 1 month. With the existing resource spending profile, we couldn't extend 1 month, let alone 3 or 6 months. So we're going to have to do something fairly radical in the next year in order to extend those resources forward. And also we need to be fairly focused as to what services we need to carry on running during that 3 to 6 month gap in the year 3 of the project.
So just in case anyone else is confused, I don't think that question has actually gone to the CB yet. Robin Middleton told me he'd seen it on the PMB list, but I haven't seen it on the CAP, so it's probably not approved yet.
Okay, so, right, so certainly that may be correct. A final version has certainly left the project office, put it that way, but it may still be with the PMB for approval. I don't have my laptop in front of me, but that certainly would cover some of the issues, such as what is the flexibility for partners to extend contracts and to move staff around and so forth.
Stephen, can I ask a question? This is Tiziana speaking for the Italian ROC. I couldn't understand correctly for how many months we are planning to extend the project. You said 3 to 6. Is that correct?
That the PMB has asked us to look at what our plans would be for 3 months, which would seem to be likely, and 6 months which would be a worst case scenario.
But in Catania, at least, I understood that the extension would be at a zero cost for the European Commission, right?
That's correct.
So how can we provide or extend the contracts without extra money from the European Commission?
So this is one of the things we need to work out, is what exactly are the services that the project needs to deliver for that three or six month period. But clearly we cannot run the project as it is for 3 to 6 months. That's clear. What we need to do is decide what exactly are the key activities for that 3 to 6 month period. And so this would, for instance, not include training. It would probably include minimal dissemination. It would include a minimal management. It would probably include a minimal user activity. In terms of operations, it would clearly be a minimal operations activity, perhaps basically down to below the levels even envisaged within the EGI.org as within the operations unit. Assume during that 3 to 6 month period, for instance, that the NGIs who would effectively be running the global tasks on behalf of EGIs, such as, say, GGUS, would be able to keep those resources running during that period. And so this is why we want to go through the analysis now to reduce our resource spend in year two of the project, so that those critical tasks have got resources behind them during this short year three of EG3.
Steve, Lloyd from France.
Hang on, can we just Tiziana, is okay with that answer?
One aspect would be that most
interrupt 1 second. Tiziana, did Stephen answer?
Yes, that was clear. Thanks.
Sorry.
Rolf.
One aspect which is making a difference this time with respect to EG2, in principle, the current partners of EG should have started their transition to the NGI structure. So, in principle, in May 2010, most of the people working in EG3 should have at least an idea whether they will continue in the NGI or not. So they should have a contract, and resources would not be needed from EG3, simply. For the NGIs are essentially obliged to provide the service anyway. So the transition, the extension of the 3 or 6 months there, for me it looks like this would be needed essentially for the EGI.org tasks, and not those which can be delegated into the NGIs, and not the fundamental NGI tasks which should already be there in May 2010.
Rolf, part of the EGI blueprint assumes that the NGIs get, well, I'm not sure 50% of the funding, but 50% of the EGI funding from the EC. So this $41 million a year that they're assuming, but, you know, it's not obvious they will get. So are you saying that France doesn't need any of that?
I'm saying that the people here busy with the NGI are working that this can happen. I don't know whether this will really be happened. This will really happen, for there are a lot of political problems in there. But my remark is that the effective problem in 2010 might be less important than what it is now.
So
I think that's a good planning assumption, because it's not obvious we do get any of the NGI money from the EC.
So let me just, so this is this questionnaire that I referenced is precisely what we want to establish. So it's, you know, it's gratifying to hear that my nightmare scenario might not take place. But what we need to do is to get that sort of confirmation from across the whole of the project and then actually see exactly what resources are left that we do need to maintain.
This is Tiziana, and I have a comment regarding what Rolf said. I actually think it's exactly the opposite of what he said, in the sense that EGI.org and the international tasks are going to be, if the European Commission agrees, totally funded by the European Commission. And this is not the case for the NGIs, where you need to co-fund and you need to search for more funds from national funding agencies, which is a big uncertainty. So I see more risk at the NGI level rather than at the EGI.org level.
No, but there probably still is a gap at the EGI.org level. It's not obviously easy funding will be in place by next May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what EG3 needs to do. Rolf was right when he said that earlier. EG3 needs to make sure that the EGI bits keep good, the EGI.org bits keep going until EGI.org is properly established and funded.
Right, but remember that the EGI.org bits are defined, you know, these global tasks, they're defined as a partnership between EGI.org and various NGIs who are, will hopefully commit to both EGI, but also commit to providing these global tasks, okay? So there's a partnership there, and at the moment, you know, that partnership is an assumption because, one, there's no EGI.org for the NGIs to sign up to and commit to providing these services. Clearly, it's hard for them to commit to providing the services when the MOUs around the EGI.org membership are still being developed. But it's also, you know, clear that when the funding model around these global tasks is also not particularly clear, as we're still waiting for the call to come out from the Commission. Okay, any other questions? Anybody willing to volunteer tasks that they're doing at the moment that they feel are not needed to, they don't need to do next year?
Prepare quarterly reports.
Well, so well, that's an interesting suggestion there. One of the things that we found with the quarterly reports, with the country reports, these were a more interesting perspective on the activities that were taking place than perhaps the quarterly reports generally produce. So one discussion point for the following year is to change the, and this is perhaps affects operations more than other activities, but to change the way the quarterly reports are done, in the fact that the quarterly reports work that say MITRE has to do basically comes as a summation from effectively country reports. And so basically each country provides their own quarterly report, so you're not getting away from doing any reporting activity whatsoever, but that then becomes a straight summation and a collection, you know, just a straight aggregation of what the countries produce as to what then goes through into the quarterly report, so that we can then see all of the wondrous activities done out in the potential NGIs in the raw, rather than me getting a wonderfully filtered comment from and document from MITRE. So that might be something we do, and clearly going down that route would mean things like the metrics, which you'd have to collect basically then on a, you would have to collect on a quarterly basis, perhaps even monthly, you know, would be a lot more harder to do. Maybe that's one way of accelerating a focus on metrics automation within the activity.
Yeah.
Does that sound good, John?
Yeah, fine.
Any other comment or question? There were many comments, most of them related to funding, but very few related to the actual shift of the work we are going to do in the second year. So any early reactions from ROX or those of you who are already involved in the NGIs on this? Because, you know, all the funding and contract extension and all that will probably be more discussed through the collaboration board first. Till now, is not it was not a subject that we were dealing with at the activity level.
True.
Probably it will come after. For us, the important thing to discuss, that I wanted to discuss this, was the program of work, the changes in priorities. So as I said, in our face-to-face meeting in Catania, the priority for the next year is to finish as much as possible the tasks that facilitate the migration to what it is in the blueprint. So I said, in a way, stop talking about operation tools plan and really agree on the plan that was presented, and we got that out of the meeting. So we need to go through those milestones and follow that they are implemented, always with the safe ground of the careful deployment, so we keep the present infrastructure and the present set of tools running. The other priorities are, yes, the metric automation, the interfaces, as Stephen mentioned, the interfaces, the protocols, the interfaces in and out from EGI.org to the NGIs through the tools we have. What are they expected to deliver? What we will deliver them, to document all this. Then all the procedures, policies, all the documents we have, to clean them, make them a bit more simple, a bit more generic, so somebody also external to the project is able to understand what they are talking about and to put them in place, to follow them. So this will be the main areas of priority. What I will do is to go through the list of tasks and subtasks as we have them in the execution plan, try to mark at a very high level the ones I consider of lowest priority, and try to match these priorities I said into present tasks or subtasks. So we refocus those tasks which will have the priority now, and probably name responsible people for those areas. So somebody which is responsible for making the definition and the documentation of the interfaces happen. Probably it will be at the OIT, but not only this, I would like to go to a lower granularity of defining who are the partners that are expected to contribute to this. So who has present responsibilities in this area today, and put milestones also with dates on this. So at the end, it's not a full-fledged, easy milestones as we do them now with review and everything, but it is something that we have internal, and probably that we will expose it to the A and B or the P and B level to say by this date we will have them, and these are the partners that will contribute. And the same for all the other tasks, having somebody partner plus a name responsible for them. So this is what I would like to work on it and have a draft for the next meeting in 2 weeks for distribution and to start discussing it. While in parallel, all the discussions to understand how the project can be extended without any funding, how the contract extension work and all that goes on the collaboration board.
Yes, I mean, the Commission is very happy to extend the duration of the projects as long as they have no extra costs associated with it. That's been very well established.
Well, you say that the fact that they're happy has been established, but are they actually unhappy about funding it at some low level of extra cost?
There's no extra funding available. There's no mechanism by which they can provide any extra funding.
Without bidding for a small EG4 or something?
Yeah. And if that, you know, if we going down that route would mean that the money wouldn't appear until the same time as the EGI.org money. So, you know, that doesn't help our problem.
So one of the difficulties I've got with this is that the work program that we've got at the moment is a combination of EG funding and matching funding from the NGIs. So, if you know, this is all an agreement where NGI is doing something that it probably wants to do, which is aligned with what EG does. So if you now say, well, hang on, we stopped that task, so this EG money has to go to, you know, some other bit of work, you can't assume that the matching funding will follow that and that everything will go.
No, but what we're not suggesting is that people at STFC suddenly start doing, I don't know, cooking recipes or something like that.
Okay? No, but my point is that if you're saying this task stops, the NGI may consider that is a task that it wants to continue and it will continue to fund it with its own money.
Right, and in
that may be the money that was the matching effort against the EG funding.
Sure, and in this federated subsidiarity-based model that we're moving to, that's well within the rights of an NGI to do that. Yeah.
So you can't assume. You can only probably assume that you can move about half the funding, or somewhere between half and all of the funding that you've got.
Right. I think it'd be interesting from the point of view of the PMB to understand why particular NGIs weren't able to be flexible about this. I mean, what we're not talking about radically changing the structure of the project. What we're doing is ensuring that we carry on delivering to our user community as part of the EG collaboration these certain functions.
Well, all I'm saying is you can't bank on it, right? I think some people will not want to stop doing certain things, and if it's their money they're using rather than EG's money, you know, we've got an agreement as to what we do. So if you're breaking the agreement by a lot, you may not get everything. So a more important point is probably, I'm a bit worried, but what was said in Catania was that we would have a EGI, EG transition plan. You're now saying we've gone back to having two transition plans.
Well, no, we're going to have, there will be two documents, and my hope is that the one will be a subset of the other, so that the EG transition plan will be a subset of the EGI transition plan. Clearly, when these discussions were originally scheduled to happen in parallel, one could be fairly confident of that. But it's basically discussion of the EG transition plan will stop at the end of April, while discussion of the EGI transition plan will carry on until June. One, of course, can't give that guarantee, but, you know, we're in discussion with the EGIDS as to what their plans are, so hopefully we will achieve alignment.
Okay, well, I mean, there's two areas of room for divergence. One is the EGI's assumption of what will be there by the end of EG, and the other is what EGI will actually do. So if you're assuming it will do something, then you're aiming at a different target. And if they're assuming what you will do by the end, then they've got a different starting point. I think at least the starting point one we must be able to converge on.
Well, I mean, our interpretation within the project is coming from the EGI blueprint, I hope.
No, I meant the opposite way around. What the blueprint is assuming you will, what will the legacy be of EG for EGI? If they don't assume what we're going to deliver or vice versa, we've got a problem.
Right, but that legacy effectively will take off when the hopefully funded EU project will start up on the 1st of May.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, but when they write a transition plan in June, they're going to be assuming something will be there by next May. And we need to make sure that what they assume is there by next May is what we are planning to have provided by next May.
Right.
Or May plus N months.
Yeah, I mean, from the level of detail that's going to go into the EGIDS transition plan, I don't think we're going to worry about misalignments, because I don't think they're going to go down to that sort of level of detail.
Is that not a worry?
Well, depending on which particular hat I'm wearing, it's a worry. Certainly, it's going to be a concern. So I think the EGI transition plan is going to be much more focused with, you might say, more of the startup phase of EGI.org and making sure there is transition staff in place from that organisation that can start coming up to speed and understanding how EG and the other infrastructure projects within Europe are operating, and trying to pass on some of the knowledge and requirements to both feed through into the project proposal that transition team will probably have to write, but also to feed through into the management that will hopefully be drawn from that transition team when EGI.org starts running on the 1st of May or whenever next year. Okay, any other questions?
Got one. Regarding the provisioning and rollout and delivery of software to the production system, the current Gillette release process is shared between three EGI activities. The new model, for the transition to the new model, presumably projecting this condition, three entities will have to be involved, which are the EGI, the NGI, and the UMD, roughly.
So the EGI, the NGI,
yeah,
and the UMD.
Yeah, these will be the subjects in the which in within those organizations we should find the relevant matches for the current actors, for the actors of the current current process. My question is, how is already the EGE project discussing with the UMD for the mapping of this process toward new ones, and is there already a table set?
Right. So. There's two activities going on there. There's a internal activity which, same way as been talking to the operations people here, talking to SA3 and JRA1 about how we can get alignment next year with the UMD, the software delivery model described within the blueprint. And to that end, as you can see from the slides and from the attached document, that we're looking to form product teams with the effectively combining JRA1 and SA3 resources into one logical unit. So this is really an extension of the clusters of competence to also push out certification out to the units as well, to the development units. Now, in the EGI model, we're having discussions with the partners from Unicor and from ARC as to how UMD, this universal middleware distribution, could be formed, and how that would interact with the EGI.org middleware unit and other parts of EGI.org. That's quite an advanced discussion, and I'm fairly happy that the structure that's coming out of that will be fairly well aligned with the mechanisms that we're thinking about putting in place for the second year of the project. It's certainly possible that some of that testing and certification activity may be drawn from partners within NGIs. certainly it's envisaged that the hardware resources and the engagement of people from both the operations and the user communities in either developing new software or certifying new software would come from NGIs, and there's a person in the operations unit to coordinate that sort of matchmaking between developers and interested parties elsewhere.
Well, Stephen, I didn't understand that bit of your document, because the PPS at the moment comes from the NGIs.
Well, the PPS is drawn from sites within the NGIs, yes, but it's not part of the you know, the NGI structure in quite the same way as it's envisaged within the EGI blueprint. So this is something that, you know, clearly we're trying to move towards that model in the second year.
Yeah, well, okay. I'd like to see a better explanation of what the movement will be, because to me it doesn't seem any different. You have a coordinator, Antonio, and you have lots of sites participating.
Right, but at the moment those sites are separate from the NGI infrastructure.
In what way?
Well, certainly not every NGI contributes resources into such a thing.
Well, that's true, yeah. Are you saying later that every NGI will have to?
No, I'm saying that it's something that every NGI should perhaps think about doing.
Right, which is... Okay, sorry, I mean, maybe there'll be a better explanation sometime later. I just don't see the difference, that's all.
So
we'll think about it at the moment as well. And some of us have test beds that are for our own benefit, but we contribute to the PPS. So.
Right, and so that's precise, you know, the whole point, you know, one of the major thrusts behind a lot of the EGI discussions is to, you know, only have a central activity where it makes sense to have a central activity. And so if there's already test beds and rollouts that activities going on with the NGI, with an NGI, it seems to make sense for the development teams to leverage that resource than to have their own separate resource, which is effectively what the PPS is at the moment.
So well, if you want us to change in year two, you'd better spell out what you want us to change, because what you're suggesting we want to move to looks exactly what we've got at the moment.
Well, then you don't have to worry too much about migration.
That's good then, yeah.
Well, if I can say something about the testbed, I think there is a gray area in the blueprint which was intentional, because there is some effort already foreseen for coordination work, but it's not written anywhere that the NGI has to be involved or has to provide a testbed. And that was intentional, because you may have NGIs that are just using one part of the UMD stack, for example, Glite. Others may be interested in the Unicore part, or so you cannot ask any NGI to have a testbed for any component of a UMD. So what was foreseen is that as EGI is providing money to the consortia for software maintenance, the consortia will have to liaise with the NGIs and get them involved into the provisioning of testbeds. So this is not written in the blueprint, because it assumes that the testbed, the negotiation happens somewhere else, through direct channels between the consortia and the NGIs.
Well, so there is a member of staff in the OU that is responsible for facilitating that matchmaking. And clearly, if a middleware consortium is producing software that nobody out in the community has an interest in seeing that it deploys well or is usable, then clearly that's an item of software that EGI should take serious consideration as to whether it should be supporting. So, well, I think the whole model here is to hope in the good self-interest of both NGIs and user communities to want to get involved in making sure that the software they have to use is actually usable.
I have another question, which is for both Stephen and Maite. Maite said that what she's going to do, if I understand Maite, you said in 2 weeks we are going to refocus the activities and we are going to identify what is high priority and what is low priority and can be stopped. Does that imply that we are going to change the work breakdown structure?
No.
No.
In principle, no. In principle, the decision of change the work breakdown structure will come more from the collaboration board or the PMB, or not from me. No, in principle, no, not at this point. And in fact, I said reprioritize the work. I didn't say explicitly to stop some parts of it. That we'll see. What I would like to make clear to all of you is what, and agree with all of you, is what are the priority areas for next year. So I don't need to request any work to stop, but you yourself refocused and passed the message to your partners, so this is done in a more transparent and a smooth way, in a natural way, where you see what are the needs next year for the migration, what the NGI can provide already, because every case is different, so the refocusing would be easier in some regions or in some partners, and you start smoothly moving into that direction and deciding by yourself how to plan this. In principle, I don't plan to start any campaign next month to stop some activities. It is just to make clear what the priorities are to add some additional milestones to reinforce these priorities, so we make sure that the essential points we want to achieve next year really happen.
But then I'm confused, because Stephen said we are considering the possibility to extend the project, for example, by 3 months. And since the European Commission is not willing to provide any extra money, then we have to find the money. And Stephen, if I understand, said we have to reshuffle activities and to save money and some of the activities and shift the distribution of money, right?
Well,
otherwise, how can you run any central service for 3 additional months if you don't change the WBS, for example?
So you could change the amounts for each task rather than getting rid of any task, just reduce the effort to it.
Right. So that's certainly one solution. I think the critical thing is that there's going to have to be some, as we discussed, basically some movement of potentially between tasks between partners, or tasks that were previously seen as being within the remit of the EG project, for partners to have to absorb those more within their own NGI activities if they wish them to continue. So I think, you know, have an opportunity to work with Maite to come up with the priorities and to see what resources we do actually need to conserve and where we need to conserve them. Because if all of the what does that mean?
Somebody,
right.
Yeah.
Someone hanging up.
If we're able to get a commitment from the NGIs that they're able to carry on running these global tasks, then the only thing that we need to do is to find the resources to carry on running the sort of the global tasks that are within the remit of EGI, and then we need to see where those global tasks are at the moment, and Maite is working on a breakdown of where the staff for those tasks are located, and we'll just need to look at focusing of activities within a couple of particular areas rather than more broadly across the whole of the activity. Does that help?
I'm not sure.
Well, so my suggestion is to not worry about it at the moment, but to work with Maite in responding to her questions about prioritisation and so forth, so that we can come up with a detailed plan of what changes are necessary as soon as possible, so that we can go from talking in the abstract to the concrete.
What I would request to all ROC managers in the next 2 weeks when we go to this priority discussion is an effort to be a bit abstract and a bit generous and just think about the global picture. Don't think immediately about your partner, because these priorities might, so we will have to transfer them probably into its partner or its ROC. And maybe only a few of them are the ones contributing to the priority task. And maybe this means that we need to spread these priority tasks. So think with the global picture in mind. Don't think, okay, my partner is doing all this, and if it is non-priority, we'll stop, or because then it will be impossible to get any agreement. We will, and then we can do exceptions per partner, discuss one by one. This is not going to transfer immediately in everybody stopping doing something, or being more recognized because they are doing something of which is recognized as having the priority. Try to avoid this, because this is not the goal. At first, what we need to understand is what are the essential things we need to keep doing till the end of the project, even with this unfunded extension. And then we need to understand how we do this, but this is the second step. And if we put them both together, the discussion will be very complex. Certainly, we will not be able to solve all the issues at our level. We need the collaboration boards and the partners to look at it from a different perspective. So let's try to do our bit of it without making it additionally complex. Any other comments or questions? Okay, I hope, well, I don't hope this is now crystal clear to everybody, because it is not to me yet, but I think the discussion has been useful, all this information, which is going on at the different levels in the project these days. So thanks to Stephen for joining us.
No problem.
And so, as I said, we'll continue working on it on the next 2 weeks, and we'll have again the point on next week's agenda. Any final comment before I move forward with the agenda?
I'd just like to say thank you to Stephen for teaching me a new word. I've not come across fungible before today.
How do you? You haven't lived. All right, cheers.
Thank you. Okay, the rest of the agenda today, as you see, is very light. This was the main point. So next one is this classical admin matter, next deliverables and milestones. So we have a few of them in the pipeline. The first one that I will mention is MSA 1.8, which very quickly, well, I don't have it here. Let me go through it. It's about vulnerabilities. Let me tell you the exact title. Grid Security Vulnerability and Risk Analysis. It is the partner responsible for it is STFC. It is due in project month 11. It means to be submitted for AMB review beginning of April. So Linda already produced the table of contents 2 weeks ago at least. I don't have yet the date for a full draft to be distributed internally inside SA1. But my impression is that it is under control. I don't know if people from STFC, John or Claire, if they are there, they have more news about this one.
No, I just checked that she'd done the table of contents and things.
Okay. Yeah, the table of contents looked fine to me, so...
But does she know, I mean, is there a timeline back from when the report's due to be in properly moderated and that? When she needs to provide the first draft?
She needs to provide the first version to be sent for AMB review beginning of April.
No, beginning of April.
April, yeah.
Okay.
It can slip 1 or 2 weeks, but we should target that date. And it would be nice to have a quick internal SA1 review, at least submitted for information to the ROC manager before. If this is not possible, we can do it at the same time. because usually the security milestones and deliverables have quite an internal review through the different groups before. So this is not strongly needed this time. Okay, the other one, also during project monthly level, is a deliverable. INFN is responsible for it, is DSA121. And the name, Tiziana, do you have the exact name in mind?
I think it's assessment of the production infrastructure, something like that.
Yeah, which is a big one. It's a deliverable, not a milestone, and it has two parts, one this year and another one next year, the second part to update a little bit what we said. So this is being led by INFN, and all of you have seen mails for contributions to many different areas. So I really call everybody to contribute to this deliverable. It is an important one, and it, clearly it cannot be done only by INFN. It requires contributions from different areas. So please answer Tiziana and Luciano, which are trying to gather information from the different areas. The timelines are similar, beginning of April for the first version to be sent to the PMB. Tiziana, how do you think are you going to be with these timelines? Because if you know already that you will be late, it is good to flag it already to the PMB and to say, look, we need at least two more weeks, or just to let them know.
We actually asked the people that we involved, such as the OAT group, the security people, the CAD people, the tool developers, the GIGAS people, to provide us a draft by Friday this week.
Okay.
So I think we will wait until next Monday to see how far we are going. The purpose would be to glue the material together to see what is missing, what has to be improved. And the next week we should be able to say if that will depend on the content, the level of quality of the material we will get. So next week we can probably decide and ask the PMB if any extension is needed.
Okay.
Is that fine?
Yeah, that's fine. So let me know next week as soon as you know it, just in case we need to flag it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Next one, which is in project month 12, so review to be started at the beginning of May, but I'll comment on it already, is a report on interoperations. And I think it is FCK responsible for this. I have seen some mails, so the work has certainly already started. Do we have anybody from FCK, if they want to give any update on this?
Hi, Maite, this is Sven speaking for FCK.
Hi,
I think Sven. That I think that when Mai and G-Tau are working on this milestone,
okay.
So I think they're online, so please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, we are preparing the report, but we need some templates, so we have never written such report. So what I need is some sample from previous report. I think we have written some reports earlier.
There is an official template for milestones and deliverables, so I'll point you to it with already the document structure there that you need to use. Is this what you refer to?
Yes. If you
okay.
have such, please send to us, because
yeah.
we don't have anything here, so we must start with some template or something like this.
Okay, so I'll do that. I'll send the template to you.
Yeah, better there are some questions to answer or something, point items on it. So I just started 3 months ago in the EGE project, so I'm not clear what I shall write for this report. So I need some questions, some, for example, items, some like in the country part, you have some items, you must write something on it.
So the first thing what you should do is to go to the description of work and read what is expected out of these milestones. Read the description there. The second thing I would do, as you said, you have been very short time in EGE, is to go to inside your ROC or inside your partner, to people that has had a longer experience, and ask them to help you a little bit on it and to support you on this. because it is the partner responsibility, not only you. After this, you can come to us with a set of questions on what is not clear and what we can arrange a phone conference to agree on the basic table of content. But I would like first you to think about it and to come up with a proposal on what the table of content should be, instead of us starting from scratch working on it.
Yes.
Hello. Here's Wemei speaking. I'd like to have some comment about this interoperation, because we are working in contact with other experienced people who something. let's say with Anthony Tosten, we also worked. Tried to contact with the people who worked in this period before, because this kind of milestone is the first time of this milestone, so we have not any experience and we cannot adapt any any let's say a document before, but we are working on it and
okay.
We will give we are collecting information, let's say.
Okay, perfect. So I would encourage you to think about a possible table of contents, and then we can organize a phone conference and discuss about it.
Okay.
Might I have a question?
Yes.
This report is for the complete EGE, including other dogs, I think, not only for our dog.
No, it has to cover the whole interoperations activity in SA1.
Okay, so I have to collect information from other dogs.
Yes, you have to get information from other rocks, of course.
Okay.
Yes. Sure. But before you start doing that, it's good to define the table of contents. So what are the chapters you are going to write about? What is the information you are going to request from the rocks? How you are going to organize it to lead to a conclusion, to do the analysis a little bit? So we think about this before going and asking the real information to the rocks.
Yes, correct. I have to have this template that I sent around, so I must first prepare this one.
Okay.
Yes. You give me some initial, then I work further. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Any other comment or question in milestones and deliverables? Okay. Moving to AOB, we covered item 1 and 3. So item number 2, actions from Catania face-to-face meeting, is left. So you saw that the day after the face-to-face meeting in Catania, I distributed the document with the actions together with some responsible names. I would like to kindly ask all ROC managers and task responsibles to go and read the document to be aware of the actions that are on you, because I would like to have dates on one. Most of them are long-term actions. Some of them are very quick details that can be done very quickly, but most of them are long-term. So I want to understand from the responsible people, the responsible names I put per action, so it is something they are planning to inject into their work plan, and by when this could be done. So I'll chase this offline, but I would like to get an answer before next meeting, so this goes into the general list of actions. Okay? Any comment to this?
Sorry, where is the list of actions? On the Catania agenda?
It's on the agenda. It's linked to the agenda page.
Okay.
I'll include the link on today's agenda, so you also see it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you haven't done that already. Okay.
No. Any other comment? Okay, some people is already leaving. Any other AOB?
One for me. So I sent out some time ago a list of client versions, and I think I also put in the email the simple rules I'd use to get those clients. So it's just to remind everybody to give feedback on that. I think I'd set the date at the end of this week, but I'm going to check so people can have another week to give any feedback. I've already got some feedback from some VOs. Just if any sites have comments on whether they think these versions are sufficient, not enough, too many, etc. So please, if the ROCs can contact the sites, and if any sites are on think about it and let me know if you've got any comments. So I'll be sending out another version straight after CHEP.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nick. Any other AOB? Okay, thank you everybody for joining, and talk to you again in 2 weeks from now. Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.